Loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every one of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I have to tell you, and I'm going to go off script here, that this congregation never ceases to amaze me. On a Sunday like this one, a Sunday that is nestled between Thanksgiving and the beginning of Advent next Sunday, in many churches, they would prepare for pews that are barely full. They would call it a low Sunday, but not here. On a day where the snow comes down driven by wind, when a pastor is crazy enough to invite people to come outside to do the real and holy work of blessing something that will be so important to so many people at so many churches, people would nod and say, "Yeah, right." And instead, we couldn't even fit all within that circle. This is a place where we commit ourselves every week to not just coming to church, but being church, and fresh off of some time with family and coming home here to the Berkshires. I need to tell you, it does this pastor's heart so good, simply not just to see you here, but to watch how you engage your faith, to watch how you engage one another, to watch how you care for one another. Truth be told, next Sunday is a Sunday where I would expect the pews to be filled like this one. Next Sunday is a highlight of the church year. You will leave today past those hay bales that are beginning to sag and those gourds that are beginning to rot a bit and become food for the squirrels. And you will come back in. That is, if you weren't here for the Holly Fair or for the Berkshire Lyric Concert, but you will come back in next Sunday and you'll be greeted with that unmistakable smell of fresh pine. You will see the garlands literally strung all around here. You will see the beautiful wreath hanging from the organ pipes. The candles will be in the window. The wreath will be right here, or we haven't decided, maybe right here, but it will be somewhere. And even non-churchy people will come out for a day like next Sunday, because there will be good music. There will be familiar carols. And I think because it is a beginning, and God knows in this day and age, we all are desperate for new beginnings. Amen? Amen. And I think one of the things that makes next week such a highlight is because it is anticipation. It wraps in everything that will happen over the next 4 weeks until the miraculous coming of God's love wrapped in flesh. But truth be told, as much of a highlight of the church year as next week is, as important as next week is, for it gets us started on our journey, this Sunday, today, is actually the climax of the entire church year. In many traditions, this Sunday is a pinnacle Sunday. It is the reason that we deck the sanctuary in white. Today is a high, holy day in whatever tradition you follow. And if you're in a particularly high Anglican sort of church, today would be a day replete with smells and bells and pageantry to evoke the truth of the majesty of God. But today is the climax of the church year, not because of any particular story that we read today, not because on today any particular event happened that we remember, but rather because it brings all of them together. Today, we are meant to think on and reflect upon every single story of the church year, from Bethlehem to Galilee and all the way to Calvary. From baptism to transfiguration to resurrection. From healing to teaching, from loving to serving. From the new life of Christ on Easter Sunday to the birth of the church on Pentecost. And from that day through all of the stories of the Bible of ordinary people, just like you and me doing extraordinary things in and through the power of God. All of it is designed to wrap up in the powerful conclusion that the reign of Christ is already here, that it has begun, that it is all real, that God's love is still at work in this world doing miraculous things, and that it all wraps up in the power, glory, and majesty that God made manifest in Jesus. In Paul's writings, the Apostle Paul, his summation in the letter to the Romans was his conviction of what this day is supposed to be. If you don't remember his conviction, it is this, that he is convinced that there is nothing in all of creation. There is no power, ideology. There is no prince, angel, or demon, height, or depth. There is nothing in all of creation that can separate us from the love of God through Christ Jesus. And that is what this day is all about. The power of God's love made manifest through Jesus at work in the world. And we conclude the church year this way every year, because it is a truth we need to hold on to in the good times, and especially in the difficult times. We need to remember it in the hard times, the times when the powers of fear, violence, uncertainty, dislocation, and despair seem to be ruling the day. I know we know nothing of those times, right? But today, on this day that we call the Reign of Christ Sunday, or traditionally it has been called Christ the King Sunday, we name it that way to remember that there is no earthly power. Nothing, none, nothing we have ever done, and not even death itself, that can contend with the almighty power and love of God. And the reason we end the church year this way is so that we can lean into the new church year starting next week in Advent with hearts open wide. That was hearts, by the way. With the courage and conviction to let go of things that need to be let go of, that new truth, life, and beauty can come in instead and take their place. When Ezekiel wrote, there was absolutely no question of how difficult the times were. This passage here comes less than one chapter after news reaches Ezekiel that Jerusalem has been destroyed, the temple is gone, the leaders have been exiled, and the people have no idea what to make of it. Ezekiel offers the words you heard this morning as words of hope and restoration, words about God. You see, in that time, there was no question that God was in charge. For the people that Ezekiel was talking to, they had given their hearts over to the reality that while they were under the thumb of Babylon, it was God who was in charge. And the ironic thing is that this reading of all things is picked out for the Reign of Christ Sunday, not to make the claim about the fact that God is in charge, but instead to demonstrate what it is that God does with that power, that what it means to be king, that what it means to exert holy power and influence. And the first thing I hope that jumped out at you is that God's first use of God's power is fundamentally to undertake a calling, to seek out and look for anyone who is hurt, lonely, lost, or suffering. So often we have this misguided view of God as this patriarchal, white-bearded man sitting in heaven, just waiting to judge us, keeping score, if you will, of all the things we have done and left undone, of the sins of our hearts and minds. That is the image of God that too often comes through our Christian preaching. And in this passage of Ezekiel, nothing could be further from the truth. There is something like 21 different verbs of God going out to seek, to find, to bring home, to feed, to welcome, to bind up, to care for. So whatever has happened to you in this last year, whatever you have done or left undone, whatever burdens you are carrying, whatever weighs on your heart, one of the first things you need to do with this passage that Ronnie read this morning is stop running. Stop seeking, even, and simply slow down and let God find you. In this passage, make no mistake about it, it is not, God doesn't say, for those who live righteously and have figured out their ways and have confessed all their sins, I will come to them and make them well. No, this passage says God goes out and seeks anyone who is burdened or injured or lost or wandering or under the weight of the world. So if you are burdened, if you're worn out and worn down, if you have felt the sting of persecution, either on a big or little scale, maybe because of how you think, maybe because of how or who you love, maybe because of what kind of body you have, maybe because of how you think, or because of anything else, what I say to you on this day is slow down, stop. Find peace by letting God simply find you. For if we remember that today is not about any story, but all the stories, we cannot forget that in John's beautiful gospel, it tells the story of how Jesus says, what shepherd, even if they have 100 sheep, doesn't leave the 99 to go find the one that is lost? So no matter how you got lost, no matter how you earned the burden that you're carrying, didn't earn it, I'm sorry, no matter how that burden was placed upon you, know that God is coming to find you. For when the church tried to think of how God's power is the most glorious, they chose this passage of searching and finding. The other thing I hope you notice in this passage is there are no goats. Did you notice that? So often, the passage contrasts sheep and goats. I always felt bad for the goats. But in this case, the passage is clear. All people are God's sheep. Because all of us, after all, are beloved children of God, made in God's image. In this passage, the distinction gets made between those who follow this way of living that Christ shows us, the way of sacrifice and loving and giving, and those who muscle people out to be able to be more comfortable. I love that image, don't you, of how God is going to destroy those who have abused and misused others. There's no smiting involved. There are no thunderbolts waiting to come out of the clouds because, after all, they are still sheep. Instead, God will feed them justice. Sheep waiting to be brought back into the fold. But there is something that we cannot ignore in this passage. The injustice that God cares about are things that we do to one another. They are things that human beings do to one another across the world. And what I think this passage on this day of all days is causing us to do is to look out at the world and to find those hidden places where people are suffering in silence, whether because of mental health issues, whether because of sexual orientation, whether because of their gender, whether because of their class, whether because of anything else, because in this world, people are being persecuted and killed for all of those things every day. And what this passage reminds us is that not only will we be found, but we are called to be part of the finding. That as church, we are called to not just respond when something is so obvious that we can't miss it, but to be like God, out there searching and seeking until we find the lost and lonely, and then binding them up and bringing them in. We encounter this passage at the end of a church year, not because this is a final answer or because this is a final way that you will be graded and evaluated and then separated, but instead because this passage, this idea of seeking out and looking for, this idea of being found, needs to be the way that you frame the new beginning that's coming just next week. For if you do, the next church year will be a glorious new undertaking. Friends, next week is going to be glorious. We will sing, we will prepare, we will find moments of silence. All will be well. But I am so excited that you were here today, that we might close the year well, and in doing so, prepare for a glorious new year to begin. Amen.